The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah, you just, there you go.
Nice, solid.
That
nice.
Went around the table.
Yeah. A little pepper
and bread. That's the pepper I'm looking for. Yeah. What's going on, everybody? We ended the spooky month. Hope everyone's enjoying
spooky
it so far.
Season.
Yeah. we're honing in on around the middle, so you should have gotten in. There's no excuse. You should have been raking some leaves, fucking smelling that fucking air, and just absorbing all of the awesomeness that comes with fall. That's what you should be doing. If you're not, you're not living your fucking life right. And I am fucking judging you.
I'm out there huffing a bunch of leaves.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there is a very finite time where I will judge, and this is one of them.
I feel like I've honed my friend group based on the people that like get like manically excited and run down and just like huff leaves, like.
Like, Luna and I had a whole conversation about sniffing books earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've sniffed books.
Yeah,
how many book sniffers are here?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
totally. That remind you of some special time in your childhood, or just,
like, just reading and imagination. And it's literally just like reading and imagination. Yeah. Like, I associate all the joys that I've had with reading with the smell of print. Like, I really do.
I have picked up books and gone,
there's this, and I like, love legitimately, both used book and new book smell. They're both
they're different.
I love old
different
book smell.
Oh.
Old.
I've gone through a phase where when I was younger, and to this day, that's why I still do it. Buy used books, and it's like there's a whole other level of just
I'm a bibliophiliac. It's kind of hard to say now that I've had some beers, but I love old books.
Which is weird because I'm a beer biophibliac. Cheers.
Oh, jeez. All right. Before we get too fucking shitty on this episode, we got to go through who's on this episode. So, first off, we've got Murphy Lawless. They are the one of the co-hosts on Beautiful Disasters.
Yeah, they dragged me on there because I do research. And then,
they don't. So, there's
take
that.
Take my clothes off with burlesque, right? Meow.
The exploitation on the show is not the movies, it is Murphy's research.
Look at that research.
You know, but it goes hand in hand really well. You know, I wanted to really dive into, you know, the exploitation genre, and so I started with nunsploitation and having two white men take advantage of my resources.
Yay! That sounds about right.
And nunsploitation is hot.
Oh, it's so
that's
hot.
What got me started.
It's hot and it's fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
Holy shit, there's some choices.
Did you ever see that British film Sacred Flesh?
Not yet.
That was a good time.
Oh, I'm gonna look that up. I just watched School of the Holy Beast.
Oh.
Holy
shit. I have a book I can give you. It's a collection of nunsploitation films.
I'm gonna pet you.
All right.
This is my version of This Is Why We're Friends. listeners might be like, what? What's nunsploitation? Like, we just sent one person on a journey.
that person down there in the basement by himself going, I need something new.
Wait, what? Nunsploitation?
That's a thing? Yeah.
It's a thing.
And it's hot because somehow they're all really voluptuous.
You can always tell which one's going to be the sexy nun because they actually wear eyeliner.
Yeah.
With the exception of the devils, because everyone's the sexy nun and it's just fuck.
And the real selling point of nunsploitation is the hunger they have. They are so hungry. I mean, just
are they hungry or are they thirsty?
Yeah, thirsty.
Oh, thirsty. No, yeah, well, no, they're both.
It's beyond that. Like, there's one of the most perverse scenes that I saw in an nunsploitation film, which is strange to say considering it ranges a very wide amount, but there was a scene where they made one of the nuns place her tongue on the floor, lay flat on the floor, and push herself across the floor with just the tips of her toes, dragging her tongue all the way across the floor to the altar.
Oh, so it's like degenerative
or it's type, debasing. It's all,
debasing, and it's a lot of it is sexual.
Yeah.
But in the best ways.
Good luck on your journey, Carl. have fun,
Carl.
There's one dude named Carl that's like, how did he know?
There's questioning of religion. There's questioning of corruption.
Yes.
There's questioning of sexual politics. There's questioning of power.
Oh well, she's pulling herself.
Because it is one of the few places where women were in control unless there was a male priest present. Mm-hmm. So it is women exerting a masculine-like dominance over other women.
Yes. Ooh. And it is...
Oh,
it
so
is,
double
it is
down.
A, it is a pleasure...
Double down bad.
...that you don't even know about until you know the word nunsploitation. You just got to look it up, Google, or I guess Pornhub.
Depending on which direction you want to go.
Folks, just go into incognito mode and then dive in nunsploitation.
A more recent version of this that's on the comedy side is The Little Hours starring Aubrey Plaza.
So
that's, I guess, kind of another... technically nunsploitation, but with... No, there's some boobs and witchcraft for sure in it,
excellent.
But not quite as nunsploity as some of the ones
you're
talking
about.
I mean,
boobs and witchcraft is a good way to sell a film to me, though.
Boobs and witchcraft
is a good start.
Honestly, you could sell me literally anything by just saying that there's boobs and witchcraft. You'd
and
be
that
like,
brings us back to House on Haunted Hill. There's food and drink.
Like,
and
there's a sale on
ghosts.
These potatoes. They come with boobs and witchcraft, and they're $82.
Sold.
Like, that 5-pound bag of potatoes is mine.
It was one of the pluses for me going outside of just the actual storytelling and direction the film went, which was amazing. But you go to the witch, like, just, and you didn't even get full boob, but by the end of the film you got that silhouette of just like sexy, and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, that,
yeah,
and the witchcraft and the levitating, you're like, oh god,
yeah,
I need a bathroom break, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that's just this is totally where that went.
And you know, that's part of the excitement of nunsploitation. It's an acknowledgement of everything that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be good, we're supposed to be holy and worship and all this stuff, and yet there are these natural impulses that are underneath the scenes in everybody that nobody's talking about, and then they boil up.
Well, the Christians call that the devil.
Yeah,
that's temptation, that's the devil.
And you know what,
that's Garden of Eden shit right there.
The devil is delicious.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Would you like to live deliciously?
I live deliciously.
Everybody enjoys watching the good person get bad. Like
that's the other.
And people will deny that shit
it.
Though too. People will deny that they like to see
that
happen.
And yet, Breaking Bad is one of the best television shows of all time.
But that's the other.
I'm saying, dude.
Is that it's that denial and it's that punishment and it's taking things too far. And then what do you do when things get out of control? You claim possession. You claim witchcraft.
It's theological
edging. And
then suddenly
you have to blame
theological
someone.
Edging.
And then it becomes dangerous because obsession crosses over into danger.
So, that's what. But that happens with a lot of that happens in a lot of things. And hold on. Person who's getting ready to want to drop some knowledge bombs. We got Fabian on this episode.
It's good to be here. I love being here, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me back.
Here. Seriously.
This has been fun.
It's good.
What I'm loving right now, I'm deeply loving that before we started recording, we were like, all right, we don't have to talk about anything specific. Let's just talk. And I love that the discussion became nunsploitation.
Yeah.
With zero prompting, we're talking about nunsploitation.
Let's do it.
I'm so happy.
So I'm proud to be here for this nunsploitation discussion.
The best part, though,
you're here,
there is no telling where it's going to end up. We can talk about like crocodiles wearing tiny hats. Like it could go anywhere.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of want to talk about now.
Now you do.
That's
but Carl still wants us to be talking about nuns.
Yeah,
that's probably a future Dr. Fives punishment.
Fair.
Hey, we're still here to help Carl. This entire episode, we're here to help Carl.
Listen up.
Hey, Carl. Man. This is for you.
Reach out
this
to me.
This nun's for you.
This nun's for you.
Let me be your perverse guide through the world of nunsploitation.
Yes.
I am learning, and I will guide you. I have DVDs.
The man who is sacrificing this nun for Carl, we got Mike Tauba Bickett.
Hey, things happen in the studio that I don't want to talk about on air.
It's kind of like Vegas. So, it's kind of like Vegas. Yeah. You just
happens in GUI Studios stays in the carpet
this
after
is a cozy
we do it.
Room.
On the
I can reach
I
all of you with
steamer.
My toes right now.
I know.
Under this table, anything can happen.
I toe bump
a lot of
people.
Are we in a Fulci movie? Are we being threatened?
That's
no, my eyes are safe.
Yeah, safety glasses.
Yeah, but you said toes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, toes is.
I worry more about eyes than toes with Fulci.
Yeah. No. I'll sacrifice an eye if no one puts a toe in my vagina.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, New York Ripper, yeah.
and teeth, too.
There's literally a toe-fucking scene
in New York.
In New York Ripper.
I've never fucked toes before.
No, like...
I'm just going to come out and say that on air, because I've never done it.
You know what?
Have you seen New York Ripper?
Yeah, that's...
I haven't.
I'm proud of your strength for sharing that with us.
But, you know, I've had some beers. I'm feeling like opening up.
We will not spoil this for Fabian.
This is a safe space.
Yes,
I admitted my love for non-exploitation, and we bonded over
it. You should probably watch, if you're a Fulci fan, New York Ripper, and there is something that I literally got...
You ask if I'm a Fulci fan.
I got angry blasted.
Is that a maneuver?
No, I got angry blasted by this one over here.
I just texted.
No, it was like in all caps with exclamation points.
Oh, that is yelling. That is yelling.
In a vagina.
Angry blasted just sounds like fucking an ex. Like,
yeah.
I get it, but I had to let you experience it for yourself.
That, but it's not mine.
I had to let you experience it for yourself.
No infighting, children. We're all friends here.
No. It's an understanding of like,
yeah.
You motherfucker. But I understand.
He's proud of himself.
I am.
That's what this is.
I got them. I got them.
I'm noticing
this little piggy went to Pussy Town.
God.
Can we get away with that? Can we get away? We've got to find a way to get away with that. That is an episode title if I have never fucking heard one.
Oh yeah, I love the GUI talk where we've all had our drinks and now we're all yelling.
Just why?
I almost swallowed the microphone a moment ago.
The volume knob has been lowered.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Is it just all red?
I mean, and they're still clipping.
People are gonna be like, "What were they? Why are they yelling?"
No, they won't. They understand. They got
the beers.
It. Yeah. Yeah, they were all like...
It used to be the second hour of this show. So okay. we've narrowed it down to just a short little...
With two more people on there that also brought shares. So there would be like six shares, and it's just...
Yeah, it was six people at an hour of this garbage with far heavier drinking than we're doing now. This is like...
Yeah, we would have to take a break and drink for an hour before we started the second half, and then we'd have shares.
Early 30s.
I see. So that's where the truth comes out.
Of this shit show?
I love it because you know what? Editing is a breeze because I can't edit shit because this is a bunch of talk over. So I'm just like, all right, there you
just
go.
Just gotta let it go.
I just let it go. Yeah. That's what I have to do.
It's you like just gotta let them stick their toes where they want.
It's like early internet websites, WYSIWYG. What you see is what
you need
you
to make Merv a shirt. Yeah. You need to make Merv a shirt about toes.
Oh.
See? Just totally uncomfortable. I like it.
It's just this face, except it's a vagina, and there's a toe.
It's like no toes in Pussy Town.
Sad beef curtains.
It's 1 foot touching another foot, and it says, "Forget it, Chuck. It's Pussy Town."
Wow.
I don't know where Chuck came from.
Oh, I'm telling you,
that's great.
There's got to be a way we can get around this. Can I instead of the U, can I use like an asterisk or something? Fuck.
I don't know. We'll discuss off mic.
Oh man, there's some good stuff going on right here.
Get around
here.
This is where the ideas happen.
That's right.
I shouldn't have to worry about this with a fucking podcast, but that's where it's gotten.
Yeah.
Podcast should be free reign.
With the aggregators like Apple and Spotify, they have specific things you can't have in the title.
I hear you. I got you. Well, we wanna represent well. Yeah. I'm just speaking out of my ass.
It's mainly so there's not going to have podcasts like Mouthfuck Nation and stuff. That are like,
okay, that's just unnecessary. That would just be completely
Once you relinquish control of a few things,
you just open the gateway for dumb shit. I understand.
Yeah. Podcasting is a gateway drug.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
To deciding to.
So if this is weed, where's the coke at? What would be the coke level
of what
podcast?
Well, if this is the gateway, what's the next step? I would put coke before heroin.
I think being an administrator on a Joe Rogan Facebook page. I think that's the cocaine of podcasting.
Are you sure it's not working for a podcasting company?
No, listen. Okay, I do. I can quit whenever I want.
Oh, sure. Oh, wow. Sure.
Man, hang.
But also, please don't, because you're finally excited.
Yeah.
I finally don't dread getting up. like any person that isn't a morning person and has chronic depression. But I then get excited once I'm up because I actually like my job. So.
I keep having dreams about pulling all of my fingernails off and then like touching my nubs on people's faces. So I'm starting to be excited about.
Is it the sensation of the no nails and touching, or is it the fact you leave blood streaks? Which one?
No,
is
there's never any blood. That's the weird thing, because I know how much it sucks to rip a fingernail off because I've done that.
It fucking sucks. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely like just have dreams where like. I've either like shorn my nails off accidentally and then I like pull them off, or I just sort of like peel like the whole nail off. And so I don't know what that's about, but probably some sort of like.
This is another example of something that I always notice around this time of year when I'm looking at my social medias, and I'm not even talking about just my friend group, but I'm also talking about stuff that shows up on like searches for Halloween and that kind of thing, is that like people that are into spooky shit.
Uh-huh.
Fundamentally, as a rule, have mental health stuff, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Because me too. Like I'm in that bag too, baby.
Oh yeah, no.
We're all here in the same room because we know we're dealing with the same shit.
We're medicated and we're out here. Yes.
And everybody who's listening to this right now, they're listening because they share the same issues.
I've seen so many memes about like the confusion of seasonal depression with Halloween, where you're like at your highest highs and at your lowest lows at the same time because seasonal depression
is
hitting.
That is a fucking thing, man. That is ultimately a thing, because you're like, this is awesome, and then, I don't know, there's something insidious in the fucking background that you're like, oh.
That's why I end up just swaddled in a blanket, man. Sideways from the bed. It's
fucking weird.
I think that's why what I'm excited about for Halloween season is just like, comfy hoodies and like warm cider and a bonfire is like things that I would also like when I'm depressed.
I love like jacket
goes
weather.
Hand in hand.
I love putting on a jacket.
I like hoodie and shorts weather.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I like the combo platter where my legs are nice, like weirdly cold, but
did
the rest
you call
of me
it
is
a combo platter.
The combo platter.
I'm the opposite bisexual. I like the sweatpants and crop top.
So you're a hoodie 6, and I'm a hoodie 3.
So no, all right, I've got it. Hold on, it's because I'm the same as Hobbit here. So no, it's like I'm shorts and a hoodie, same. So it's about ball sweat and boob sweat. There you go. Except, what else makes sense?
I mean, except that at that point I'd be like a. Dead center.
Did you just go in there?
Yeah, I had to adjust.
Yeah, they did. They were like, "Hey, got to move in there." Right. No, I'm just thinking like it.
What are you saying? I don't have boob sweat. I have boob sweat. What are you talking about?
I gotta keep up my NB game of confusing the straights. So it's just like, okay, I see it. We got a lot of ass and we got some boobs. So I'm gonna go with female, and I'm like, oh. Fuck you.
Man, I love confusing the straight. Like, I was on a post earlier today where somebody was bitching about Velma being gay, finally, officially, like, in one of the things.
We all knew Velma was gay. Look at the fucking cartoon.
And then somebody said, like, in,
jinkies.
If you're going to call somebody an incel, then look in the mirror. And I was like, no, I know. Like, no, I know I look like an incel. Like, that's what's fun for me, is that I'm a chubby white man in his 40s with a beard. I infiltrated.
Nice.
You didn't know I was here the whole time. The call is coming from inside the house.
The call is coming.
Yes. That's how I feel all the time when they're like, "Hey, ladies," and I'm like, "I've blended in with the straights. No one knows that I'm
It's like that. There was a meme going around with like the dog where it's like, "No one has noticed yet." like no one has noticed. No one has noticed.
The only reason I'm not coming out about anything is because I'm infiltrating stuff that people that might listen to the show don't even know. When I'm fascinated by something, I infiltrate it, I become it, and I explore, and then it helps me grow as a person, blossom it.
But that actually is that's actually
said
very
actual
true. I can totally see
group.
How that
that's,
yeah, right.
That's
that,
what
that
I
makes
do with everything.
Total sense though. Like fuck. Yeah. Because the thing that matters more than the thing that could cause the issue from you being able to explore. Like no, being able to get in and explore and just embody it.
Also, yeah. Just to bring
say
back
if it's
to the episode,
to say if it's for you or not is way more important than whatever other bullshit is going on around something that is a problem, quote unquote, and
also,
the quote unquote fingers.
To bring it back to the episode, I feel like that's very Vincent Price of you to be like flexible and moving in and out.
Oh, I'm sure there's so many people that he worked with that like when stuff came out later in life, they're like, "Oh, I had no No, I had no idea. But it's like, yeah. I got you, bitch.
Yeah.
I got you.
Well, a lot of people are one-dimensional.
It's just that laughter.
And they are who they are.
I'm sorry. Who had no idea? That's like being like, Rob Halford's gay?
Dude,
like,
people see what the fuck they want
yes,
to see.
Yes, they really do.
And yeah. there's no, and as blatant as that sounds and as boring as that sounds, that is the fucking truth.
That's
yeah,
true.
So if you,
yeah.
that makes perfect sense with that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
There would be drinks and food and ghosts. And they're like, straightest man I've ever yes. seen in my yeah. life.
He's all about the pussy. Like, that's what that's about. Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. Like, you know.
I made a nice charcuterie board. And they're like, he loves pussy.
He's a gourmet yeah. chef. Like, not only charcuterie, but other shit. Like, cats and vagina alike.
Well, now, I will say, being yeah. all that will get you a lot of pussy.
Yeah, true.
That will get you a lot of pussy.
I got to be the one to tell another friend of mine that Vincent Price was bisexual, and he was like, wait, what? And I was just like, oh, come on. The man was so evil. He was like, tonight I will woo you and you, maybe later you. Yeah. And like just and prancing around in like haunted houses in the foppish, most foppish clothing, and had to be told to tone it down to play it like, you know, Witchfinder General, like, you know, and he did great.
That sounds like the wrong. Overlord lesbians that I've lived with as roommates, where they're just like, sorry, I'm straight so far.
Yeah. Like, what's the line that John Waters used? So spaghetti until you get it heated up.
You didn't introduce me either, so
no,
you didn't introduce him.
Oh, okay. I did totally introduce you.
Okay, cool. Well, fuck me then.
This motherfucker.
And this is what happens when I don't have to drive home.
Oh boy.
Coming into the end of the episode, the host of GUI Nights, Lowdown Brown McGovern.
This motherfucker right here.
Yeah. There we go. You know, but that works because I've seen TV shows these days where they show the opening credits at the halfway end. Through or at the and end. You know, so,
it's
you know,
weird
mixing
is,
it up.
When it comes to that, like,
we're just Scorsese.
With films, films as well, mm-hmm. where like the opening credits, you see the beginnings of the credits, and you don't realize you never saw the title because you know what you're going in to see.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it just ends with the title. You're like, oh, shit. I don't know. Something about that, I don't know. I really dig that.
At
I really
this point,
do dig
we're
that.
Artists. We're allowed to do whatever.
No, Nights is like a concert where it's at the end of the show where it's just like, and on drums.
Yeah.
On guitar.
Yeah.
Except it's with dick jokes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we've had more vagina jokes.
Today. Actually, we have.
And you know what?
There hasn't been a
I
lot of dick here
that.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Lots of
that's
vagina.
That's okay, because, you know, dick needs to move out of the way every now and then.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Yeah. You got to clam stamp the air, you know?
One of my favorite, I went and saw Bros over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Loved it. Cinematically, like director style, it's one of the most static cam movies I've ever seen. There's like no movement on the camera, which is annoying as somebody that likes like the film aspect.
Yeah,
but it is a very dialogue driven movie, mm-hmm. so it didn't need a lot of like bells and whistles for what it was trying to explain. I wish there was a little more movement on cam for like walking scenes and stuff, but overall, not a big deal. That's just a movie nerd thing. Okay. The writing is great. It is fucking hilarious. It is so fucking funny. I think if you are familiar with a lot of gay scene shit, like the obsession with Sarah Paulson, then you'll get like a lot of inside jokes.
I mean, I might have an obsession with Sarah Paulson.
Well, so do the gays. So
just saying.
Hello, so, Steven.
I see you.
Yes, there's a lot of like inside jokes that if you're familiar with like
still screaming,
the inside jokes of gay culture on like social media and stuff, you'll get that insight. But
I can
you don't
use that.
Need that to enjoy
that
the movie. Mm-hmm. The movie itself stands on its own. I think it's just a really great like anti-romantic comedy. Like it is a romantic comedy, but it is kind of shitting on romantic comedies at the same time.
I like movies that do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best part is that it makes fun of Hallmark movies a lot. And the love interest in the movie for what's his name?
I don't know who's in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I fuck
Jesus
all
Christ.
Understand about this film.
This is what happens when I drink too much booze. Like I fucking love him. He chose for his main love interest a dude that is known for specifically Hallmark movies. As
Mario
the
Lopez?
No.
Okay, like, now Mario Lopez is fine.
But he has also lately been known for Hallmark movies.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Billy Eichner.
He has been in so many Hallmark
last
Christmas
thing I
movies
saw him
too.
On was Nip Tuck.
That was a long time ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Billy Eichner is the main character.
I get what you're saying. Nick Tubb had a very sexy cast.
Billy Eichner also plays a podcaster.
Okay.
That is also on the curator board for the first LGBTQ museum in existence in the United States. And they're getting ready to open, but they need funding, and he meets a dude that is...
In the movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, then he hates love, and he just wants to like bang and like get his shit done and not have to worry about another person. And then he meets a dude that's a total like gym bro, gay, and they start a love affair, and it's the whole combination. What I love about it, it's not trying to defend homosexuality at any point. One of the first statements is like, everybody thinks the gays are cute and smart because that's what we have been pushing for so long, but half these motherfuckers are dumb as shit. Ah. It's like one of the first lines in the movie. Wow. Is that that's what's progressive, is that like it doesn't have to speak for the entire like group anymore. It can literally talk about how fucking dumb some gays are.
So like, it's smart in the fact that it's like actually it's recognizing that like
rom-com.
Not one thing responds to everything.
Exactly. It's just it's just like not... any other rom-com where dating is stupid. Half the people you meet are fucking bizarre or terrible, and it's a nightmare. And finding love is a huge challenge. And and nobody likes it. And you do it because it's worth it.
That
and
humans are humans.
Yeah.
And that
translates through all the romantic comedies, and this really feels that. And I think it was really smartly written and done. And I love that it doesn't protect the gays in any way that it talks. Like, it's not demonizing anybody. It's just it's as plain as any straight romantic comedy is going to be, with a maybe a darker edge.
Okay.
And more group sex than a straight...
Group sex is always a good...
More group sex than, say, a straight romantic comedy would have.
Which is like no group sex.
Yeah. Like you know, honestly, straight romantic comedies are pretty damn boring.
They
talk about where...
There might be that one pivotal sex scene... We're like, oh, all right, they finally fucked, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, you don't get much.
There's a great moment where they're talking about whether they're, like, open or closed or something, and he's like, I mean, you know, I'm cool. Like, I don't need to have, like, I'd prefer it not all the time, but whatever. And he's like, cool, because I want to, like, fuck my friend from high school. And he's like, oh, and they're talking, and then this dude named Steve just shows up. He's like, hi, and they're like, oh, hey, Steve. And then there's this really awkward group sex scene where Steve is just kind of there and trying to get involved, and he's just not. Nobody wants Steve to be there, but he's like just kind of hovering around and trying to work his way in. And it's one of the funniest fucking, like, it's so funny. It's so fucking funny.
Keep picturing Vincent Price doing this.
Hey, Vincent.
No, he would not be that person.
He'd be in the center of the web of humans.
People are trying to get to him. That's how that works.
It's him talking to Peter Lorre.
Peter. And Peter Lorre being like, hello.
That's Frankenfurter.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm bad at impressions. It's fine. But I
used to be good.
But yeah. All right. So... that was
all over the place.
That was all over the place. That's how we do on GUI Nights. That's just how Nights rolls. So
I just want to say that I also really like the movie The Bat.
The Bat's good.
With Vincent Price.
You say that. You say
I will. You.
The Bat's a good movie.
Thank you.
Okay.
I made my mom watch it.
Yeah. Aw, that's sweet. That's very sweet. Okay. He's good to have these moments with Mal.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I made my mother watch both Shock and The Bat with me. And then I showed her Val Luton movies.
Oh, my mother. She's better off for it.
Yeah.
Next week, you watch Society with your mom.
Oh, dear. Then... No, don't do that.
Mom's cool.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I don't know if she's gonna like it.
I have questions about when I watch Society by myself.
I'm getting a Society tattoo.
Is it an asshole?
No, I'm not gonna get the ass face. Okay. I think I'm gonna do the stretch face. I think that's what I want.
Just make sure that the actual image you use is directly from Society, because some people might confuse that with The Thing.
No, it's the girl. It's the girl in the like the debutante dress.
Yeah, okay. Okay,
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Never seen Society? No. Brian Yuma?
It's no. Brian Yuzna.
Yuzna.
Oh, Yuzna. Yeah.
It is, when did this come out?
It is in the 80s. 88.
It's called Society. I don't know why I have not heard of it.
Oh, yeah. It's if you super... like body melt, body horror. Oh, yeah. This is. Yeah. This it's, is. Oh.
Well, I feel like I've been cheated. Like I've been lied to.
Yeah, because Yuzna was in with Reanimators.
Yeah, he was. He was. Yeah, he's been with. He's in all the Reanimators. And he was stuff. Yeah.
All right, I feel confused every time I find out that something came out in the 80s that is of this nature and I don't know about it or own it. I've seen that cover. Wow. I'm always confused and taken aback when I find out there's something I don't know about. No, I've seen the cover. Murphy just showed me the cover on the phone, and I've seen that box cover, but I've never seen the movie.
Oh,
okay. So that one slipped past me.
Oh,
there you go.
It's a whole thing that happened.
It's a movie that exists that is a whole level of yeah.
Oh, I wow. love it so much. I have the Arrow release. If you want to borrow it, let me know. I think it's still streaming.
Rather than borrow it, I say we get together and we watch it. Together.
Oh, can we do? Can we do? Can we do? Can we do?
Titan A and Society.
Yes.
Can we do a movie night?
Let's do this.
I can always do a movie night. Yeah. Yes. I'm always down to watch Society again, right, even though it is uncomfortable.
Let's make plans off, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Give it. Wait, yeah. Carl, you're invited.
Yeah,
you
come on. Come on.
Carl, yeah.
If you want really wet, fleshy things, just come on over. Mm-hmm.
We'll bring some nun-sploitation for you.
I got you, boo.
We got to get him out of the basement, man.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to do Society and a la carte. It'll be great.
That's it. We went over flesh and just some weird nun-sploitation and just like...
And bros.
There's been a lot of conversations about how you can get off. So if you can't get off at this point, I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
Just watch a Vincent Price movie and listen to his voice.
There you go. That's the simplest way. If you go above that, you're
there
probably...
might be food and drinks and maybe some ghosts and maybe some cum.
And perhaps a little autoerotic asphyxiation.
You know, some of the food, like hors d'oeuvres, could compensate for things.
More like cum d'oeuvres.
There you go. Yes. Cum d'oeuvres. Yes.
Ghost. It's ectoplasm.
Ew, I'm going to take a dairy pill
first. I'm going to try to put my sexy voice on and do the... No. There'll be food and drink and maybe ghosts. And maybe a murder or two.
Okay, cool.
That,
great.
I don't know what I'm going to do with
Carl,
that.
Carl, set that as your ringtone.
Yes.
All right. That's it. We're done.
All right.
We have used up everything. Here's some cab fare. Good night. Go the fuck home.
GUI Nights.
GUIPodcast.com.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIPodcast.com. Mike the Hobbit here.
Lowdown Brown.
Inviting you to check out Geek Some of the Influence, a podcast that pairs booze with conversation with good friends.
And a little nerd culture.
We get a lot of colorful conversation out of our episodes, but it is here for everyone. No gatekeeping.
Always level up everything we do.
We'll punch up, never punch down.
Exactly.
So check out Geeks Under the Influence everywhere you get your podcasts and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit. Welcome to GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah, I am Lowdown Brown. With me as always,
Mike the Hobbit.
This is the tangential side of GUI.
This is like so many of those other shows that has the after the show bit mixed with a little bit of Baywatch Nights, so it's a little sexier. It's a little bit after hours.
Also, while tying it into the previous episode of GUI, so look forward to that too, because this comes out the week after the flagship hour-long episode.
So make sure to check out GUI Nights, and when you're done, you can
go the fuck home.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash
on your left,
and we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guide at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.